Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of The Bill Barnwell Show. I am Bill Barnwell. Today, joining me is CBS's Will Brinson to break down the over-unders for the upcoming NFL season. We're each going to pick five NFL over-unders for teams from the William Hill Sportsbook. But before we do that, wanted to tell you about another podcast. Three times a week, The Right Time with Bomani Jones podcast brings you the latest from technology, music, and the very best analysis of the games. Plus, there's a community of friends, including Dominique Foxworth for Foxworth Fridays. That's The Right Time with Bomani Jones, Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. Listen wherever you get your podcasts, and Wednesday and Friday's podcasts are also available on ESPN's YouTube channel. Now, here's Will Brinson picking over-unders for the 2022 season. All right, joining me now here on the Bill Barnwell Show, I had to have him back, my security blanket. He's like I'm the bad quarterback, and he is the tight end who's going to catch a pass for 7 yards on 3rd and 14 for me. The man who has joined me today in picking five NFL over-unders for the 2022 season. It is my friend from CBS, Will Brinson. Will, what's up?
Bill, I'm happy to be your Ricky Seals Jones Jr. I was on a radio show, and I can't remember if we were even on air, but Nick Costas, who's a Giants fan, and I were arguing. He was like, the Giants weapons are pretty good. He threw out Ricky Seals Jones.
Oh boy.
Stop it.
That's
better,
not
better than being your Evan Ingram, right?
I mean, Evan Ingram at least had the promise of being good for, a more significant period of time. He just was not ever able to actually pull that off.
Kelsey Mahomes, that works, right?
Yeah. I would see myself doing a
dating reality show where I. No, I can't actually. I cannot see it. Bottom 10% of human beings who should ever be on a dating reality show.
I don't know if that's right. I would say top 10% of sports writers. If I was gonna say who's gonna be hosting a dating show. I mean, I guess who is it from PFF? Who was on The Bachelor?
Wasn't it Mike Renner was on there?
Yes, Mike Renner was on there. So Mike Renner is probably number one, if we have to be honest, because he was actually on a dating show. But Will Brinson, absolutely high up there in my book, at least. Well, today we are going to go through the odds from William Hill Sportsbook, and we're going to pick five NFL over-unders for the 2022 season for team win total. So for the uninitiated, I will give you an example here. Let's pick trying to pick a team who I don't think either of us are going to mention.
I would say that neither of us would mention... Oh, actually, no, that team's a good one.
Let's say the Bills. Did you pick the Bills?
Yeah. I did not pick the Bills. Bills were one of my favorite bets last year.
Yes.
But I think I got it at 10.5. Mm-hmm. Like -140 or something like that. And then did they finish with 11 or 12 wins?
Nick was 11.
Yeah, but they lost to the Jaguars and scored 6 points. They're like, they should have easily covered the over, and somehow it was a pure sweat to the end.
That's still one of the weirdest things, is that Josh Allen was the best player on planet Earth during the postseason. And not only did he score 6 points against the Jaguars, he threw 3 picks and was terrible against the Falcons like 2 weeks before the postseason started.
Super weird.
Super weird, but that is the magic of the NFL. Nobody remembers those two bad regular season games because he was unconscious during that postseason run for the Buffalo Bills. But Buffalo Bills total this year is 11.5. The over is -125. The under is +105. So 11.5. If you want to bet the over, you are betting on the Bills winning 12 or more games in the upcoming season. If they do that and you bet $125 at -125, you will win $100. The under is +105. So if you want to bet on the Bills not winning 12 games, on them winning 11 or fewer games, if you bet $100, you will win $105. You'll also get your $100 back in both scenarios if you win. In the case that there are ties count as losses for the purposes of this sportsbook. So if you have a team that goes, the Bills went 11-5-1, that would still be a loss.
Ties. Okay, gotcha. Yes. Yeah. But if a So like the Panthers are at 6 wins. Yes. If they go 6-11, that's
a push. Okay. Yep, you get your money back. No, nothing win, nothing gained, nothing lost. So
by the way, I love that we had the synchronicity of CBS Sports and ESPN somehow using the exact same sports book now.
That's magic, right?
I know, it is nice. I don't have to worry about accidentally like blowing up some sponsor on this podcast.
Evil sports book. We would never possibly make bets with for entertainment value with any of those other sports books. Please tell me your first over under for the 2022 season.
Well, Bill, I'm actually surprised to see at William Hill / Caesars or whatever, Billy Hill, whatever we're calling it now, that the juice, I'm getting plus money on this one.
Okay.
The Chicago Bears under plus 105.
Yep.
I would have thought under 6.5 plus 105, excuse me. I think if you look at what the Bears are doing, that they are borderline actively tanking. And I've noticed that several intelligent NFL analysts, I can't remember, maybe, well, I don't want to, you know, prop them up too much. It may have been like, I think it was like Sam Monson and Greg Rosenthal were tweeting about this. I think they qualify as intelligent.
Yeah,
for sure. They were noting that if you look at what the Bears did this offseason, you could even make the case that Chicago, that it looks like the current regime of Ryan Poles and Matt Eberflus are not only are like not trying to help Justin Fields, but might very well not believe in Justin Fields, which I don't know that I get what they're saying based on what they've done this offseason, but I don't understand. Like I can't imagine that I guess I don't know why I think the McCaskey family would operate with any sort of logic and starting now in 2022, but like, why would they hire a new regime, a new coaching staff, a new front office, a new GM that wasn't trying to build around the quarterback who they just gave up? They just spent 2 first-round picks on because they traded up with the Giants to get. Now, the schedule is conducive to some wins.
Sure.
Because you play the Lions twice.
They get 9 home games.
I'm not sure the home field advantage is like that significant for a team that won't be very good. So they have the Texans at home, the Vikings at home, the Dolphins at home, the Lions at home. So like, there are very winnable games here. There are several extremely winnable games here. I sort of understand why it's set at 6.5. But like, their number one wide receiver is Darnell Mooney.
Yep.
And their number two wide receiver is either Equanimeous St. Brown, Byron Pringle, or Velus Jones Jr., who they just drafted in the 3rd round.
Yes.
They are going to be starting at left tackle either Larry Borum, a 2021 5th-round pick, or Tevin Jenkins, their 2021 2nd-round pick, who wasn't even able to get on the field early on because of, you know, injury issues. And like, I think Justin Fields is a very good football player, potentially. I just don't know that he's got a lot around him. And so I struggle to identify how this offense with Luke Getsy at coordinator, I believe his first turn at coordinator, and Matt Eberflus, the defensive head coach, are going to get the most out of it. Additionally, in the name of cleaning up the, you know, disastrous salary cap space, they cut Akeem Hicks, or let Akeem Hicks walk at least, and traded Khalil Mack to the Los Angeles Chargers for a 2nd-round pick. When you look at this defense, Eddie Jackson was once good. Jalen Johnson looks like he's going to be a pretty good player. I mean, Eddie Jackson could bounce back for sure. I like Kyler Gordon, their 2nd-round pick, one of their 2nd-round picks as a rookie. And I think Roquan Smith is a good player. Justin Jones holds a special place in my heart as a former Wolf Packer. And Robert Quinn
was good last year.
It's like an ageless pass rushing wonder, which is especially crazy considering that in high school, he had a brain tumor, brain tumor taken out and still was like, it may have actually been at college. At any rate, you know, he's still 1st-round pick. And has been wildly successful for a lengthy amount of time with multiple teams. However, I don't see it on either side of the ball here, Bill, and I will happily take this team to win 6 or less games.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jets Pizza, the #1 pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jets is better with the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country. There is no competition. And right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, SAVE. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a Jets Pizza location near you. Again, try Jets Signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's number 8, SAVE. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Yeah, I mean, the tough part here is, I think, looking at this offensive depth chart, like you said, there's not a lot of talent on the offensive line, at receiver, around Justin Fields, which makes me think he's going to have to make magic happen on his own to win games for this team. He's going to have to make plays with his legs. He's going to have to extend plays to create throwing lanes for his receivers, who are not very good, aren't exactly going to get open like their Davante Adams. So that runs the risk of Justin Fields getting injured. And to me, I think for the Bears to get over 6.5 games, Justin Fields has to play 17 games this upcoming season. Because if it's not Justin Fields a quarterback, well, it's Trevor Siemian, who is not very good for the Saints. Yeah. And yes, it is the Peterman himself, Nathan Peterman,
somehow gets
of playing games in 2022. If there's any evidence that your team is tanking, there's no stronger piece of evidence than signing Nathan Peterman.
Yeah, that is a great point. I count. And now, one, and somebody made this counterpoint to me on my podcast, Pick Six Podcast, Daily NFL Podcast, subscribe, rate, review, on YouTube live 1 p.m. every day for the rest of eternity. Maybe just getting Ryan Pace, the RP thing screws me up, and Matt Nagy out. It's possible that just anyone else might be willing to design an offense around Justin Fields, where you accentuate his talents. You know, I don't know if they go full 2012 RG3 with the read option or anything like that. I'm not sure they even have the personnel for it, but you know, that would be a benefit for them as well. Although the injury thing is certainly a risk. I count the five home games: the Texans, Lions, Vikings, who I think are better than maybe they're being given credit for, yeah. Washington and the Dolphins, who all, you know, the latter three of those are certainly not free wins. No. You know, you're going to have to win four of those and then win three road games at the Jets, at the Giants, at the Falcons, and like that to get there. So there's definitely a path to seven wins for the Bears. I just don't think that. And the other thing, Bill, is if you are a team, let's say you're the Miami Dolphins and you get a 17-0 first half lead on the Chicago Bears in Chicago. And Mike McDaniel, a Kyle Shanahan protege with a beefed up backfield and a decent offensive line, they are going to run for 200 yards in the second half, because the Bears, like we've seen the Bears when they lose Akeem Hicks during the season at times, their defense falls apart, especially against the run. And now they don't even have Khalil Mack. Like Justin Jones is good. They don't have the bodies in there to slow anybody down. And so I think if this is a team that if they don't, like, I don't think they're going to be playing with a lead or scoring a lot of points. And I think people will be able to get downhill on them very, very quickly because of the losses and personnel that they've suffered.
Yeah. And I mean, this is a team where, again, the guys you're naming, that's if they stay healthy. I mean, the second and third string for this team is not NFL caliber. So the moment you lose someone like a Jalen Johnson or a Roquan Smith, like the guys coming in to replace those players who are good players are replacement level NFL backups. So that could be a situation I'd be worried about in the second half of the season, where even if the matchups look good on paper, by the time the Bears get there, they're just not up to that level. So to me, I'm absolutely with you. I think under 6.5 is very, very reasonable here in the upcoming season. I will say my first pick, very similar vein, much worse odds. I will ask you what you think, Will.
I know where you're going. Can I guess where you're going with this?
Please.
The Atlanta Falcons.
I think the Atlanta Falcons
are the worst team in football.
Not just the worst team in football. I think they have a chance at having like a truly spectacular bad season, like a 1-16 caliber season.
I don't think that is outrageous, and I don't think the Falcons would mind if it happened, to be perfectly honest.
Yeah, I mean, it would probably be the best thing for the franchise. But here's my case. Last year, the Falcons, 7-10. But, and I am someone who had to watch the Falcons very closely last year, 4.9 expected wins. Their victories were over the Giants, the Jets, the Dolphins when the Dolphins were stinking, the Saints with Trevor Siemian, the Panthers with Cam and PJ Walker, the Jags, and the Lions. And those teams, not very good. Wasn't like the Falcons were blowing those teams out. They won those games by an average of less than 5 points. And that was a year where Younghoe Koo was basically unstoppable. He was 27 of 29 on field goals. He hit several game winners. I think, I want to say like five of those games involved Younghoe Koo field goals at the death to win. So it wasn't like they were winning games by a lot. And I mean, that's all fine and dandy. But they're worse than they were a year ago. Like, obviously worse than they were a year ago. Last year, they at least had Calvin Ridley for part of the season. Now Calvin Ridley is gone for the entire year. Russell Gage stepped up at wide receiver in the second half. Well, Russell Gage is now Tampa's third receiver. Atlanta did draft Drake London, which is great, but rookie receivers don't always turn into superstars immediately. The depth chart at wideout after him, not very impressive. Questions about the offensive line. They lost Foyesade Oluwakun, who was a very good linebacker for them a year ago. They got a full season of AJ Terrell, who is phenomenal, but again, you know, what if AJ Terrell is not phenomenal or doesn't have a full season again in 2022? That secondary is very, very worrisome. And most of all, well, last year they had Matt Ryan, who Matt Ryan is maybe not the guy he was a few years ago, but Matt Ryan is still a pretty good quarterback. And now it's Marcus Mariota, who hasn't played in 2 years, and Desmond Ridder, Ferry Falcons team that, you know, has plenty of motivation to get Ridder in the lineup. You know, the moment that Marcus Mariota seems like he's wasting their time. So I think this could be extremely ugly for the Atlanta Falcons. I think this could be a 1 or 2 win season. So to me, I'd rather have under 5, to be honest with you. I'd rather have 5.5 with worse juice, obviously. But to me, I think they are clear favorites to be the worst team in football.
Yeah. I mean, let's, the two, you know, a couple of things on it. And I agree with you. I think that this will go to 5 and be like under 5. I think it'll settle at, I don't know that they'll go to 4.5. They may go to 4.5 eventually, depending on how the offseason goes. 4.5, like plus 100, or, you know, under 5 minus 110. I think the minus 160 is a lot to lay, but 5, you're getting that extra half. I mean, you look at this roster, Bill, and all right, I'm going to take the leap and say that Drake London is a blue chip player because they took him early, and sure, that's fine.
No problem.
We want to give Chris? Did they pick up the option on Lindstrom or McGarry? I can't even remember.
They picked up on Lindstrom. McGarry, yes, has been a major problem. Lindstrom, yes, is pretty good.
All right, so we'll say that Lindstrom is a building block, a 2019 first round pick. They picked up his 5th-year option. We'll throw them that bone. Sure. Jake Matthews can't be one. He's too old. That's, yeah, just, I mean, it was a 2014 first round pick. Like, he can't be a blue chip building block for the future for a team with this roster. So we'll go London, Lindstrom, and then we'll give him Kyle Pitts. Yep. You know, you can't go Desmond Ridder because he's a 3rd round pick and we haven't seen enough. I think Grady Jarrett is probably too old at this point, but it, you know, 2015 5th-round pick, an incredible pick, but just too old. And then AJ Terrell, and we're done here. Yeah. I mean, that is the extent of the players on this roster that you would want on your team if you were starting you're trying to rebuild. And I think that they went in on Deshaun Watson, which would have been a disastrous move for a team with this roster to actually get there to give
1,000%.
Yes. But what ended up happening was, when they went in on Watson, you know, it naturally caused Matt Ryan to say, you know, you opened the door, so I'm going to step through it. And I think it created a reality check for this team that they are not where they Terry Fontenot said that he thought they could have their cake and eat it too, rebuild and reload and keep trying to win while also building the roster. And I think they have come to the realization that's not the case. And
no cake is happening here.
Yes, there's no, you're not even going to eat. You're just going to tear blankly in an empty cake case. And then you look at the schedule, and the NFC South, I believe, plays the NFC West this year. So have fun with that. And also the AFC North. So have fun with that. There are if one were a betting person,
sure,
one wanted to get a head start on week one in September, and one wouldn't mind leaving that money in somewhere in escrow with a sports book until September, one would probably be smart to wager on the Saints. to at -5 in Atlanta in week one. That number is going to be above a touchdown by the time the season starts. They then go after that, they go at Los Angeles, at Seattle. They host the Browns. We don't know if Deshaun Watson will be playing. At Tampa, the 49ers, at Cincy, the Panthers, the Chargers, at Carolina. Oh, the aforementioned Bears at home. That'll be a little head-to-head for us. At Washington, Pittsburgh. There's like two wins on the schedule.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard to find many spots where they're going to be favored. And it's hard to feel like this is – look at like the Bears. Like this is a year where they are rebuilding. They are, you know, trying to create some salary cap space in the future. They have $100 million plus, I think, in the future. So, you know, this is the year where they're going to eat their vegetables and not be in great shape. And, you know, I don't know if their coaching staff is going to survive this, but this is the thing they have to do. I mean, they took that core as far as it could go. It went to a Super Bowl and now it's starting over and it's going to be pretty ugly this year. So, yeah, I think the Falcons are pretty comfortably, to me, the worst team in football. Let's get your next over-under.
I am going to go with an over here. I actually had another under written down, but I'm gonna ponder if I want to pivot from that one.
Okay.
It's a little teaser, I guess. And I'm going to head to the AFC West, and I'm going to buy low on the best quarterback in football and the best offensive coach
in
perhaps the history of football. And I will take the over on the Kansas City Chiefs at -130. The Chiefs have the Chiefs are, I don't want to call them like victims, but I mean like the Chiefs are being poo-pooed because it's the offseason and because the Raiders got Devontae Adams and the Chargers got Khalil Mack and the Broncos got Russell Wilson and all those moves are fantastic for the here and now. For the future, we'll see how it goes. The Kansas City Chiefs lost Tyreek Hill. I get it. But they still have Patrick Mahomes and they still have Andy Reid. And they have an absolutely loaded offensive line that gelled together in the second half of last season. Andy Reid has once, Bill, since 2013, only once, not gone over his win total since arriving in Kansas City. It was last year and he missed it by half a game. They are plus money to win the division. I understand that Russell Wilson is very good, but he is going to a new team with new receivers. And you know, like again, the Broncos are a quarterback away. That's fine. The Chargers look like they have an incredible roster. They are still the Chargers. And the Raiders are dealing with a new coach and a new scheme and a lot of different changes. And sure, they added Chandler Jones as well. But you know, I mean, let's assuming that defense is going to be great, to me is a bit of a bridge too far. The Chiefs. Like, I don't think Juju Smith-Schuster and Marquez Valdes-Scantling are going to replace Tyreek Hill. I don't know. I do think there's a chance Mecole Hardman actually, you know, lives up to a little bit of the hype in his third year. This is just way too much of a downgrade on the Chiefs, given Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid. All they have to do is win 11 games. I don't even need to look at the schedule. I will just blindly bet that Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes can get there because they're Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes.
It does feel like a bet you're going to feel good about making. Like there are some bets like last year I had, I think the Falcons over and every week I had to watch the Falcons like narrowly eke out a victory and be terrible for most of the game. Like betting on the Chiefs is fun. Like betting to back the Chiefs, like even if they lose, like, okay, well I still at least felt like I was live that entire game, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And the schedule isn't easy. Like they start at Arizona, Chargers at home, at Indy, at Tampa Bay, Las Vegas at home, Buffalo at home, at San Francisco before their bye. That's not easy. I get it. But they also have the Texans, the Jaguars.
The Seahawks.
The Seahawks, who look like they could be a bad team. The Titans, who are definitely a worse team than they were last year. And plenty of home games coming up in the second half of the season. And like, I understand it. I get it. Like, oh, that's a tough schedule to start. Yes, but do you know what else is tough? Playing the Chiefs. I just think that given this is basically fading the offseason narrative that everyone but the Chiefs got way, way better in the AFC West.
Yeah. I think that, losing Tyreek Hill is going to hurt that team in the short term. I think that's fair to say, but I still think this offense is going to be just fine. I think they're going to be a different sort of offense than they've been in years past, but I still think they're going to be plenty efficient and plenty effective. In part because the guy who they have throwing the football is really, really, really good. And I think the defense could be better than it was a year ago. I think that they might be a little luckier in some situations than they were a year ago. And I just think they are, they're just a bet you want to, I think you want to make. Like, I think it's just, it's always better to bet on the Chiefs than bet against the Chiefs, because you're never going to feel good having to sweat betting against Patrick Mahomes. As someone who had Chiefs under last year, betting against Patrick Mahomes, not fun. I will stick in this division. I have an under on one of the teams you mentioned. It is the Las Vegas Raiders at 8.5 minus 125. And this is in part a bet against sort of the, they added Davante Adams and Chandler Jones. Like, yes, those are two good players. Sure, Davante Adams is a phenomenal wide receiver. But what if Davante Adams plays 12 games or 10 games? What if he's not, you know, the guy he was with Aaron freaking Rodgers as his quarterback? Like, yes, he has a relationship with Derek Carr. Derek Carr is not Aaron Rodgers. Chandler Jones had 5 sacks in week 1 last year and was kind of anonymous the rest of this season. I think those are good additions, but let's counterbalance that against a lot of concerns about this team. We don't know if Josh McDaniels is a good head coach. Last time we saw him as a head coach, he was a very bad head coach, I think it's fair to say, in Denver. This team was much worse than its record. Yes, they did go 10-7. Yes, they did make it to the postseason very narrowly over the Los Angeles Chargers. But this is a team that was 6-7 late in the year, and then they got a string of compromised quarterbacks. They got Nick Mullins of the Cleveland Browns in a game they won by 2 points. They got Drew Locke and the Broncos in a game they won by 4 points. They got COVID-afflicted Carson Wentz, where he came back moments before the game started, in a game they won by 3 points. And then the Chargers game, I don't need to remind you how crazy that was. I think the Raiders were the better team in that game, but this was not a team that was on a postseason path. Not like they were heading in the right direction. They were floundering, and then they managed to stumble upon 3 just dismal quarterback situations and won a few games narrowly. They had 6.9 expected wins a year ago across their entire season. Now they get a second place schedule. They get 8 home games instead of 9. They were 21st in DVOA last year. They were basically just behind another team I'm going to mention in a minute, but they were behind Seattle, well behind Seattle. They were behind the Browns. They were behind the Vikings. They were behind the Broncos without Russell Wilson. This was not a good team. And so I think the additions they made matter, but they're counteracted by what the Broncos did in adding Russell Wilson. They're going to be a much better team this year. I think the Chargers are going to be a much better team this year. And I think that the Chiefs are maybe not as good on paper as they were a year ago, but I think they're still way ahead of the Las Vegas Raiders, who they beat 48-9 and 41-14 a year ago. So to me, I am not buying the Raiders. I think they are a 7 or 8 win team this year.
Somebody's going to have to lose some games in the AFC West. Like, yes. I mean, that's just how it works. And you look at this number and it's 8.5, and it's juiced to the under. And I'm glad it's you and not me, because the haters and the losers will call me a hater and a loser for things I say about Derek Carr. I don't know him. And so I don't want to besmirch his name, but their offensive coordinator is Mick Lombardi. Like,
Big Mick.
Yeah. Some clown named Mike Lombardi. That's my best Kelsey impersonation. Is he ready to be? I mean, I assume McDaniels is going to call plays, but like,
yeah,
is he ready to be an offensive coordinator? Patrick Graham is a nice DC. I just think once you get past the Max Crosby, Chandler Jones are going to destroy everyone narrative that is sort of being built up, because, you know, and Max Crosby is very good.
Yes.
But and Chandler Jones at his best is very good.
Oh, for sure.
Their secondary is not going to stop anyone. If the pass rush doesn't get home, I think you can probably run on this team pretty effectively straight up the middle. And let's not forget, Bill, that this is the same team that just declined the fifth-year option on all three of their
first-round
2019 first-round picks. Josh Jacobs.
Then,
yes.
And then their 2020 first round pick, sorry, those were 2019. They drafted Henry Ruggs in the first round, who obviously is not going to be on this team after the tragic car crash. His DUI, his alleged DUI. They cut, who was their other cornerback in the first round who was on the gun charge? It was, I can't think of his name.
It's gracious.
I'm only human. Please give me a break here. They also cut another cornerback.
I'll come up in a second. You keep filibustering.
They also cut another cornerback in the first round. So there's a core first round picks in this team that haven't worked out. I mean, this was supposed to be kind of the crux of this team. The guys who were going to be their Damon young Arnett. Stars. Damon Arnett. Thank you, Will.
Two first round picks in 2020, Henry Ruggs and Damon Arnett.
Yes, I mean, obviously.
The guy selected after them was Lynn Bowden Jr., who they traded before the draft ended, I believe.
Yes.
And then they just traded Brian Edwards, the other third round pick from that class.
Did they?
Didn't they to the Falcons?
Oh, I didn't even know that. See, this is why you can't get COVID during the offseason.
Actually, it happened like in the last week. It was don't watch out.
It happened.
Drake London and Brian Edwards.
have to adjust my.
They really did trade into the Falcons for like nothing.
I have to adjust my best ball ranks for this topic. yeah, I mean, you know, I feel like that young core. The guys who you would expect to be the guys who were pushing this team forward, the guys who were supposed to be the stars of this team, are not there. And I'm not saying that they won't be able to replace those guys. They did draft guys like Hunter Renfrow and Crosby in later rounds. And that makes a big difference because you hit on a couple stars in the later rounds. But I mean, this team is flawed. I think very significantly flawed. I don't think Derek Carr is the problem, but is Derek Carr going to be able to shoulder the sort of workload he has to shoulder to prop up some of the weak parts of this team? I think they're going to be good. I think they'll have some games where they look really impressive, but I would be surprised if they got to 9 wins.
What is the Raiders' record coming out of their week 6 bye? They are at the Chargers, Cardinals at home, at the Titans, Broncos at home, at the Chiefs.
Ooh, boy.
Because I think 2-3, you're feeling good about it.
Yeah, I think if they're 2-3, I think you feel like they're going to hit this 9-win total. But
yeah, because they have Houston, Jacksonville at Jacksonville. Although, I mean, like that's not a. I mean, the Bills lost in Jacksonville last year. You know, yeah. Houston at Jacksonville, at Seattle. Man, you got to get to 2-3 if you want to get to 9.
Yeah, that's going to be tough. I mean, the Cardinals are much better in the first half of the year than they are in the second half. 3 road games against, you know, 2 playoff teams and 1 team that came within a 10-yard run of making it to the postseason in the Chargers. It's going to be rough. So I just think a decent team, but not as good as maybe people are making them out to be. Who do you have next, Will?
I mentioned Jason Kelce. So why not go to his team? And we will take the over on my somehow adopted team of the offseason, the team that my producer of my podcast, Debo, mm-hmm. is a huge Philly sports fan. Mm-hmm. And typically speaking, I have made fun of the Eagles and made fun of the Sixers and made fun of casual banter back and forth. However, when the Eagles selected in the first round of the 2022 NFL draft, my favorite player in the entire draft, Jordan Davis out of Georgia, and then use their other first round pick to draft, which is to trade for one of my favorite wide receivers in the entire NFL, a player I love more than some members of my family, AJ Brown. I decided that I'm an Eagles fan this year. And if I can get their over under at 9 wins, Bill, I am happily taking the over -120. I think that you look at this team in Philadelphia and if Jalen Hurts, like Jalen Hurts was probably more fantasy sizzle than real life quarterback steak, but that's mm-hmm. okay. He did some very nice things last year. And now they have this really deep offensive line that is built for the future. They have a really deep defensive line. And those are the two sort of things that, you know, made that 2017 run possible. I feel like, you know, as much as Carson Wentz's magic touchdown percentage beans helped, you know, Devontae Smith and AJ Brown is a really fun 1-2 combination. You add in Dallas Goedert, of course. You have Miles Sanders and some other backs in that backfield. And they just picked up as of today, James Bradbury on a 1-year deal. So now their secondary is James Bradbury and Darius Slay. They added Hassan Reddick in the as a pass rusher, linebacker, hybrid type in the offseason. this looks like a in a 17 game season, this doesn't look like an eight to nine win team to me. This looks like a 10 or 11 or 12 win team to me. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's not out of the realm of possibility in the slightest. I'm intrigued. I mean, I guess I wonder what this offense is going to look like, because they had, I mean, a lot of success last year when they sort of got away from being a balanced offense, went to a run first attack with Jalen Hurts. That really kind of propelled them forward after a rough start to the season. But now you have Devontae Smith entering a second season. You have AJ Brown coming over from Tennessee. It sort of feels like they're going to be more of a, you know, more of a passing attack than they were during that second half run from a year ago. And I guess I wonder, I mean, are they going to be as successful running a more balanced offense?
That's a fair question. I thought that like Nick Sirianni got rightfully killed for some of the silly things, like rock, paper, scissors, and some of the other things he said in like his various press conferences. Like they weren't good press conference quotes. I, you know, get it. But RJ White, my colleague who pops on the podcast, it pointed out correctly that the in-season adjustment to change your offense, to change what you were doing, to get to something that worked for what you needed to win football games to get to the playoffs, even if you weren't like a Super Bowl caliber team, is a really good sign for Nick Sirianni and that coaching staff that they might be able to adjust on the fly and to, you know, to change the way that they approach what they do on offense, what works. And so like that, I mean, that is a big, big plus, you know, like we talk about the Bears, you know, Matt Nagy is just like, well, we'll just keep running my offense, even though it's not working.
Yes.
You know, and it, like, it's like, you really not going to cater to, you know, they changed what they did to fit the players that they had. And that is something I think is imperative for a team to be successful. I look at the schedule too. They're at Detroit to start. They're 3.5-point road favorites, just like they were when they won 44-6 last year in Detroit. They get Minnesota at home, at Washington in the like ultimate, you know, Carson Wentz revenge game, which I think Philly will probably be favored. Jacksonville at home, at Arizona, and the Cowboys at home. I mean, I don't think it is outrageous that they're 4-2 going into their bye with Houston, Washington at home.
Oh boy.
The Giants, the Bears, and the Giants again out of the bye. And so, you know, you have some tougher games. Of course, you have the Packers, the Titans at home, both of those teams at home, and the Saints at home. Like, you know, but to me, I'm looking at like a baseline of 8 wins. You just need to kind of flip some of those, you know, you just need to win a couple of those coin flips. You know, maybe you win an Indy, beat Pittsburgh at home. The schedule is fairly friendly and they have a lot of depth on both sides of the line. I think I love the Eagles at 2-1 or better to win the NFC East. I think they got meaningfully better this all season and I don't think the Cowboys did.
Yeah, I like the division bet for sure. I like the over two. I would just rather...
I'd rather bet the division bet than the over win.
Yeah, me too. That's what I would say, I feel. I'll go with an over as well. I would go with a team where I feel like they got better this offseason, and I think we're treating what was a franchise-level outlier for them from last year as maybe their new baseline, which I don't think is fair. I'm going to go Ravens over 9.5, which is -130. And to me, yes, they were very lucky in the first half of 2021. I mean, just the Lions game alone where Justin Tucker hit that miraculous field goal off the uprights and tells you how lucky they were. But they were 8-3 before Lamar Jackson got hurt. They lost 2 games, I believe, on 2-point conversions, which would have won the game. They had a 6-game losing streak to end the season, which included 5 of those games, which were losses by 7 points or less. And I think more than anything else, Will.
I know where you're going with this, Bill.
Just like the Ravens have had good defenses every single season. They've been a franchise until outside of, I think, 1 year. I think the last year Brian Billick was in charge. And last season, they were a mess on defense. So you bring in Marcus Williams from the Saints. You get your cornerbacks back after losing Marcus Peters for the entire season, after losing Marlon Humphrey for a good chunk of the year. You bring in Michael Pierce back from Minneapolis to play the nose. You have Odafe Owe playing a second season. You bring in David Ojabo, who might not be healthy this year, but wouldn't be shocked if they make another defensive addition in the weeks before the season. And you bring in Mike McDonald. They made a change at coordinator. They got rid of Wink Martindale. They bring in Mike McDonald. This organization has been too good at drafting and developing defensive players for 30 years, 25 years, to make me feel like they are not going to be better than they were a year ago when they were 28th in defensive DVOA. I just don't think that is likely. So to me, I think the defense is better. I think, you know, even if Lamar Jackson does miss a game or two, still think you get a longer season from Lamar Jackson than what we got last year. I think this is a tough division, certainly. But if Deshaun Watson gets suspended, which I think is likely, if the Bengals are maybe not quite as good as they looked during the postseason, which I think is maybe fair, if the Steelers take a step backwards with their quarterback situation, which I think is also probably fair, I think the Ravens are, they should be favorites to win this division. And I think they are a team that could win 11 and 12 games without us even batting an eye.
In 2020,
yep,
the San Francisco 49ers, when I say led, I mean in a bad way, led the NFL in adjusted games lost per Football Outsiders, including games with COVID. They were over 30 games past the next closest team. They had 166.6 games lost, including COVID, Bill. In 2021, the Baltimore Ravens, quote-unquote, led the NFL in adjusted games lost with 191.2 games lost. That is so outrageously high that there is, like, they are, the next closest was almost 40 back. And the next closest, that was the Jets at 158.5. And the next closest after that was the Lions at 122. Like, they lost 70 more games than the Lions in terms of player. Like, 70 wouldn't put you at, like, 10th. I mean, like, that, it is crazy how many games they lost to injury. Yes, a lot of them were their running backs. And normally you could say, well, running backs are replaceable. And I don't disagree with that take. But for a team that has more than 2,000 rushing yards, has 2,000 rushing yards more than the next closest team since 2018, losing three or four running backs to ACL injuries in before the season begins is a big freaking problem. And so even that alone, and you know, think about San Francisco. They started slow last year, but eventually got going and easily cruised over their win total, I believe. I'm with you 100%. Baltimore is a absolute bounce back, buy low spot in terms of their win total. It should not be single digits, and they will win 10 plus games. I feel very confident saying.
Yeah, I think it's just, if Lamar is healthy, which again, maybe he'll miss a game or two, but he has not been a guy who has suffered significant
contract
injuries.
Season too.
Contract, I mean, every year is going to be a contract season if Lamar doesn't sign a new deal. It's going to be a contract year for the next presidential administration, it sounds like. I think this is one where I feel pretty good about backing in the Ravens here. What's your next one?
My next one is another over. It's kind of dangerous of us to pick all these overs in May. But
I've got two more. My last two are unders, so don't worry. I'll bring some negativity to the proceedings.
Well, I hope that your under isn't this one, but I'm going to take the team that was, I don't know what I'm thinking. I'm trying to do the math on which team went where, but I'll take the Indianapolis Colts over at 9.5 wins.
Okay.
Is that one of your unders? I hope not.
It's not, but it's adjacent to one of my unders.
Ah, interesting. I would guess that I can, in fact, this is good, Bill. That means that if you are going in the direction I think you're going, you know, bachelorette party buses and whatnot, this is two now, because we both had the, what was the other one?
I had the Chiefs, Raiders.
And yes, exactly. That's good news. The calculus here is pretty simple. You take team X and you subtract Carson Wentz and then you add Matt Ryan. And we're done here. In all seriousness, I do think that you watch a lot of Falcons games. You mentioned that earlier. Like, Matt Ryan wasn't that bad last year. I mean, he wasn't good, but he wasn't that bad. Like, he wasn't like a 5-win team bad or whatever the 7-win team, whatever it was. Sure. The Matt Ryan, much like Phillip Rivers, is leaving a team that drafted him for the first time in his career. He is getting the rejuvenated nature of going to this new franchise in a place where they've had success with these rejuvenation prospects. Mm-hmm. Frank Reich is a player's coach, a quarterback's coach. Every quarterback who's ever played for Frank Reich raves about playing for him.
Well, maybe not Carson Wentz anymore.
Well, yes. I think Carson Wentz would still rave about Frank Reich.
On the way out.
Chris Ballard and Jim Irsay just don't like Carson Wentz is the problem.
I burned my bridge, but I still like Frank. He's still a good one.
Still a great guy, that Frank. They have a outstanding offensive line, one of the best in football, and they took steps this offseason, bringing in Matt Pryor, drafting Bernard Raymond. They just added, it's not Danny Kelly because he
Dennis Kelly. I mean, if they bring in Danny Kelly, I'm going way under. Danny Kelly, very nice gentleman. Love Danny Kelly.
Danny Kelly,
not a big guy. Can you
imagine like watching Danny Kelly? And I love Danny Kelly. He's the best. But watching Danny Kelly and like Quentin Nelson block on the left side of the Colts line would be just fun for like at least a series or two.
I will say Danny Kelly is someone who tried shrimp cocktail for the first time in Indianapolis. Maybe he could just just love the shrimp cocktail so much that he wants to go back and play for the Colts.
Yeah, good for Danny. I hope he just finally got on that St. Elmo's bandwagon with the horseradish. I think that with Dennis Kelly and Matt Pryor and Bernard Raymond, they've done enough to figure out a way to solve that left tackle issue instead of, you know, bringing in Eric Fisher with a busted leg, Achilles, whatever it was, at left tackle to start last season. They have Jonathan Taylor, should not slow down quite yet. I mean, he is still very young. They brought in Yannick Ngakoue, but he's still a capable pass rusher. They also brought in Stephon Gilmore. They should hopefully get a full season of Darius Leonard. DeForest Buckner is a freak show. And they play in a division with a team in the Titans that I think got meaningfully worse this offseason, that is clearly making signs that they are in some sort of reboot type of mode. I think the Jaguars are a much better team, but I don't think they are like a great team quite yet. And the Houston Texans have a 4.5 win total. So it's to me, the Colts have multiple paths to getting over this, over 9.5 wins. And same sort of thing with the Eagles. Like if you were so inclined, I would not have a problem with betting the Colts to win the division at even money, because they could still win the division at 9 wins. I mean, they start at Houston, at Jacksonville, KC at home, Tennessee at home, at Denver, and then Jacksonville at home. Like if they lose to Denver and KC, I still like they're 8-point favorites right now at Houston. I still like their chances of starting the season 4-2. And then, they close at the Giants and with Houston as their
What are the chances the Colts would lose to an AFC South opponent on the road as huge favorites
in week one?
In week one or
week 17, right?
Or week 18. What are the odds? I don't think that's like. No,
remember Philip Rivers actually in his first game lost in Jacksonville, and then the Jaguars didn't win another game.
Yes. It was like, same old Philip Rivers goes to Indianapolis and blows a late lead. And then he was fine the rest of the year, and the Jaguars were an absolute train wreck the rest of the season. Here's my concern with the Colts. To me, this is one where I'm staying away. I think the points you've made are valid. I think the offensive line is going to be fine. I think the offense is going to be good. Are we sure that Gus Bradley is a
good choice? No, we are not.
As defensive, because here's the thing about Gus Bradley. Go back through his recent history. As a head coach and as a coordinator, Gus Bradley has led 2 defenses of any note. And the things they had in common for Gus Bradley, who plays a lot of cover 3 and cover 1, is that they had a world-class free safety. He had Earl Thomas in Seattle, and he had Derwin James with the Chargers. When he did not have Earl Thomas, when he was with the Jaguars, and when he had the Chargers without Derwin James, his defenses were kind of mid, sometimes bad. But the Jaguars, usually really bad. And with all due respect to Julian Blackman, who is a good football player, there is no free safety like Earl Thomas or Derwin James on this roster. So I am a little concerned that even if I think the offense is going to be fine, which I do, I don't know about the defense. I think losing Matt Eberflus is a problem to me. So please go ahead.
No, I was going to say, as I was embarking on my explanation of why I like the Colts, you know, obviously you have your pages up with their schedule, and I have, I bring up the Our Lads, and I'm scrolling to look at the depth chart, and I was like, oh no, I've forgotten they hired Gus Bradley. I have a buddy who's a Chargers fan who would routinely doesn't like Gus Bradley for that reason, and would routinely laugh all last year because it's like, we're playing the Raiders and Gus Bradley just doesn't know how to make adjustments.
I mean, you remember, Will, I mean, remember the Chiefs all last year, it was, oh, play too high against the Chiefs, you're fine. The Raiders come up, they play single high like 90% of the time and get blown out 40-14. Okay, you know what? You tried it one time. You got a rematch coming up. Don't do the same thing. They did the same thing and lost 48-9. That's the scary part for me.
Okay, that is a... I have no counterpoint whatsoever.
But again, they don't have to be great.
Right.
They just have to be the best team in the AFC. They just have to be good enough to win 10 games, which is hardly out of the question for the Indianapolis Colts. To me, I think it's a reasonable bet. I just don't. There are ones I feel better about on this board. One
including
of which is in the same division where I am, as you said, pedaling my way to the Tennessee Titans under 9.5 wins at -125, where you alluded to this. I'll let you talk about it. I think it's fair to say the Titans are not as good of a team on paper as they were a year ago.
Yeah. I mean, they actually, Bill, you know, famously, we did this show.
You did.
And we said, okay, you know what? We give up. We were wrong. Derrick Henry is an unstoppable,
unbreakable
robot sent from the future to annihilate theories about running back carries and wear and tear on the body. And then maybe before the podcast got published, he like broke his foot or something like that. I mean, it was literally like the next week because we were DMing about it. And but that's important because he is coming off that season where he got banged up and still had a ton of carries and already came back and, you know, and tried to make a run, you know, late in the year. And then you have the departure of AJ Brown. So now it's Robert Woods and Treylon Burks and Ryan Tannehill, like sort of with Malik Willis, sort of kind of with Malik Willis bearing down on him. And
Ryan Tannehill, where it feels like the entire city has given up on him.
Yeah. And like, remember when he was staying away from the team, even though there weren't really like team activities, and it was like very clearly a leak designed to let people know that he was unhappy about his contract. And then they drafted the most notable quarterback in the draft with a third round pick. I mean, it feels very, I mean, Mike Vrabel storming around the draft room, like looking pissed off because they just traded AJ Brown.
I mean, at the very least, it feels like they're retooling.
Yes.
And it's fine to retool. I don't think there's anything wrong with the idea of retooling, but this is a team that, again, by DVOA, which is not perfect, but it's the best measure I think we have of team performance, they were 20th in the NFL last year. They were not even an average team. And yes, their record was better, and that matters. And, you know, if you think Mike Vrabel and Tennessee have found a way to sort of overcome what we know about teams traditionally, that's your prerogative, and that's fine. And you've been right the past couple of years, frankly. They have been magical in some ways. But I think you're counting on a lot of things to go right for Tennessee to be a 10-win team again this year. I think you're counting on the AFC South to be a mess, which, hey, maybe it will be. You're counting on Henry to come back and play most of the season and be the guy he was before the injury. And granted, Derrick Henry was loading up on carries last year. He had the most carries for any player in NFL history through 8 games, but he was not as efficient with those carries as he had been in years past. So there's a chance that Derrick Henry is not that same guy this upcoming season. They lost Roger Saffold up front. They're retooling the offensive line as this goes on. And again, they may decide halfway through the year, hey, Malik Willis is someone we want to develop. And, you know, we're 4-4 and we're going to work towards 2023. But I do feel like there is plenty of talent on this team. It's not as if I would be shocked if they went and won 10, 11 games again, but I think there's more downside than it might look like given how they have won games over the past couple of years.
I agree completely. And it, again, like correlated with the Colts.
We did not plan that, to be clear.
No. We have two. I mean, I was glad when, I mean, we certainly don't want to, I mean, like in a perfect world, we don't have competing, you're like, you don't want to be, have you be like, I like the Titans over. And I'm like, I like the Colts over. Oh boy. Yeah, I think it just, I mean, I think that's a good thing. That means we feel concrete about the bets. Okay, so
yes,
I have one more I have to give out.
Yes.
And this one I wrote down immediately. And I'm trying to decide if I want to pivot to something else.
Okay.
I probably shouldn't. I probably should just stick with my gut.
Stick with your gut.
I'm going to stick with my gut and suggest that for the third straight year, or is it the fourth straight year at this point?
Uh-oh.
That the Carolina Panthers... Oh, are not going to win a lot of football games.
Oh boy. Yeah.
So I like Matt Corral a lot. I am in a world of pain if he's a great quarterback, because I ripped the pick since Carolina essentially gave up what amounts to like 3 third-round picks to get him.
Oh boy.
By the time you actually do the math. And so like it has nothing to do with Matt Corral, the player. It has to do with the process of acquiring the quarterback.
For sure.
And I think that the Carolina Panthers have shown a significant inability to figure out that position through transactional methods.
That's fair.
I think they got rejected by Carson Wentz, Bill. Carson Wentz told them, no, I don't want to play for your team. So they panicked and drafted Sam Darnold. And now they sort of panicked.
Traded for Sam Darnold.
Traded for Sam Darnold. And I think they sort of panicked and drafted Matt Corral, traded up to draft him. And even though they took Ike Ekwonu, my NC State guy, an incredible prospect, an absolute freakish athlete, and one hell of a model American. He actually started a charity to help homeless people in Charlotte before he was drafted by the Panthers, like the week before. So that's pretty cool. I think the offensive line is meaningfully better with Bradley Bozeman and Austin Corbett and Icky coming in. They have a couple of weapons and DJ Moore and maybe Tommy. Yeah, okay. They don't really have great weapons. They do have Christian McCaffrey. The defense could be
That counts. I love that you were going to bring up Tommy Tremble before
McCaffrey.
Christian freaking McCaffrey. You're like, yes. Like, I know it's hard to count on him being there, but like Christian McCaffrey was the consensus back-to-back first overall pick in fantasy football. And it's still after two basically
wasting 10 games.
It's like number three this year, two or three.
It's like maybe even two behind Taylor, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Who's the other? Who would be three?
Cup, I guess.
Oh, Cup. Yeah. And I still think like most people would lean towards McCaffrey. Yeah, I just don't know that we can count on Christian McCaffrey to be healthy.
Well, no.
But and the defense is like could be okay.
It was good last year. The defense was not the problem last year.
The defense is not the problem.
But the problem is their quarterback problem is a significant problem.
Like, how are they going to win games with Sam Darnold? How are they winning seven games with Sam Darnold?
Let me ask you this, Will. Last year, Sam Darnold started 3-0 against some very weak competition, like the Giants, the Jets. Jets.
And Texans.
Jets, Saints, who are a good defense, to be fair, and Texans.
Yes.
And there were definitely people who were ready to jump out and say, hey, actually, I was right about Sam Darnold this whole time. And even though he was bad in the Jets, I knew once he got out of Carolina, he was going to be a star. Then Christian McCaffrey got hurt and Sam Darnold was in pain for the rest of the season. What would it take this year for those same people to say, you know what? I've been wrong the first 4 years of Sam Darnold's career, but now that we're seeing what he's doing in year five, I know this is the real Sam Darnold. What would it take for that to happen?
Magic pixie dust.
Magic pixie dust. He starts like Browns, Giants, Saints.
Ike Ekwonu is, Deshaun Watson suspension. A like voodoo doll in MetLife Stadium and Taysom Hill starting for the Saints in week three. They could start 3-0. I mean, in theory,
they absolutely could.
And if they did, I would be real panicked about this under because they get the Lions at home late. I'm not sure that means anything. The Steelers at home late. They are at Seattle and they play the Falcons twice.
But you know what? They started 3-0 last year, and they had the Giants on the road. They had Washington at home They had Atlanta at home. And they lost all those games and went 5-12. So they could start 3-0 and still fail to get to 6.
I mean, Matt Rhule is 10-23 as a head coach. He wins 5 games every year.
That's even worse than Jeff Fisher. You don't want to be worse than Jeff Fisher.
At least be 7-9. So yeah, I think the Panthers should be really more like 5.5.
Yeah, I agree.
The Falcons kind of scare me because I think there's a chance the Panthers sweep the Falcons.
They are better than the Falcons on paper.
Yeah, and if they sweep Falcons, like the Falcons and Panthers are a problem for the Panthers and Falcons unders. The
reality of that. There's a real sadness ball happening there where people just clutching their under tickets or watching that game in a panic.
Absolutely.
I have one more.
Yes.
This one is close to home. Just as your Panthers under is close to home, I am picking the New York Giants to go under 7 at -125.
A sad end of this podcast.
Just it is sad.
Carrying our hometown teams.
But that, you know what? Not unwarranted. The Panthers have earned it, and I think the Giants have earned it. And yes, I am excited about Brian Daboll and Joe Shane taking over. We can do a postmortem for the Dave Gettleman era some other time. I feel like we talked about it more than anything else. We did the show together last year where we broke down the Joe Judge press conference.
Oh my God. I forgot we did that show too. Yeah, that was an incredible. I got more notes about that. It was like, what an unbelievable, you did like 45 minutes on Joe Judge's post week 17 press conference.
Incredible. Incredible.
Oh God.
They're gone. Yes. And the people who are coming in, I believe, are competent. But is that enough to take this team that was 4-13 a year ago to win more than 7 games? I find that hard to believe. They had 4.9 expected wins a year ago, which better than 4-13, but not significantly better. Their cap situation is a mess. They had to just cut James Bradberry, who signed with your Eagles, because they could not create cap space in any other way. They couldn't even get anything back for him in trade. They're rebuilding the offensive line. They did have 2 first-round picks. That's going to help. I mean, I like what they did in the draft. They drafted Evan Neal and Kayvon Thibodeau. I think those are great picks and at positions of need for this team. But the interior of the line is a bit of a mess. I think the tough part for me is that if this team does not have success early in the season, or even if they do have success early in the season, I think they're going to be comfortable trading players. I mean, they've already talked about trading Saquon Barkley. There's been rumors that Kadarius Toney, 2021 first-round pick, could get traded. If Leonard Williams looks good, he could get traded. I mean, I think that this is a very rational organization right now, and a rational organization looking at this roster would say, we need to cut whatever we can and build with draft picks that we're going to make. So unless you have a lot of faith in Daniel Jones, which I do not, or Tyrod Taylor, which I do not, I just don't see how this team gets to 8 wins, given that they're not very good. And I think there's a chance they get worse as the season goes along.
Yeah, it is very easy right now to be an optimistic Giants fan because they did win the draft. It is hard to lose a draft when you have number 5 and number 7 overall.
Yes, exactly.
Like the Jets won the draft too. It's like, yeah, the Raiders, the only team to ever not win the draft with 2 or 3 first round picks was the Raiders in 2019. It was like,
yes.
How did you screw that up? Actually, I take that back. The Giants also lost the draft that year too because Daniel Jones.
Let's not talk about that.
Dexter Lawrence and they turned up. Who's the cornerback? Who?
Dexter Baker.
Yeah. We're really, really. We never know. Get old, Bill, when we can't remember the names of these first round cornerbacks who bust out within 6 months.
We know one and done cornerbacks.
Yeah.
Jeff Gladney, someone else.
Oh, good call. Good. Nice shout. I agree with you, though. I think if you're an optimistic Giants fan, that's great. But the James Bradberry move is very clearly like it should be. If you need to read between the lines on the James Bradberry move.
Yeah.
Because that's not made by a team that's trying to win a bunch of games this year. It is made by a team that is trying to clear up its salary cap, trying to get in, you know, eat its vegetables, as you said, and get ready to be good in the future. I firmly believe that you know, Joe Shane and Brian Daboll came in and met with ownership and said, look, we will try to make it work with Daniel Jones. You know, we will put stuff around him. You draft Evan Neal, you know, you draft Rondell Robinson, and they're going to try to make it work for a year. But I also firmly believe that ownership communicated to the new regime that if it doesn't work, we'll let you guys try and move on. And so there's sort of this weird, like benefit to not being good with Daniel Jones this year for the Giants. They get a higher pick and they get to select their own guy. And I think I don't think that's an outrageous suggestion to make that they would be okay. They would be okay being competitive with minimal wins.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I think that's the case. And like you said, we talked about having some of our picks kind of correlate with each other. I mean, Eagles over would correlate well with Giants under.
Yep. Oh yeah, you're right. Man, we did three of those.
And again, not on purpose.
Yes, the Panthers and Falcons are only
that may be fair. That may lead me to lean more towards Saints over because
I thought about Buccaneers over instead of Panthers under, honestly. It's like 11.5 too. But
yeah, I mean that could be a very messy bottom of the NFC South.
The Saints, and I know we need to wrap up with the Saints. The only thing about the Saints is that I can't get past the lack of Sean Payton with that offense.
Yeah, that does seem to
I mean, even if they get those two teams twice, let's say they sweep the Falcons and the Panthers, which is entirely possible, it's still, what, 8.5, I think?
It is.
Eight. They should probably get there. But the Sean Payton thing is at least to me, like, sort of not being discussed enough. I mean, he's like one of the best offensive coaches to ever coach football.
Yeah, it definitely matters. I mean, have that one year where he was not coaching that team and it did not go well.
Right. Exactly. So, yeah, I mean, I think it's possible that the Saints, Falcons, and Panthers could all go under, to be honest.
That would lead me towards Buccaneers over, but that is another conversation, Will, for another day. I know you have a show coming up shortly after we finish taping here. Please plug that show and everything else you do.
Pick Six Podcast, a daily NFL podcast. Even through the offseason and all throughout all of eternity. We're now live on YouTube from 1 to 2 p.m. Eastern almost every day. Occasionally we'll miss maybe the offseason, but not very much. And NFL show. It's an NFL podcast with a dash of mirth. You can also follow me on Twitter at Will Brinson, Instagram, same place, and read my stuff at cbssports.com.
Well, you know, it's a pleasure to have you on the show.
It's always fun, Bill. It is legitimately always fun. I'm glad that we got to reminisce about our
Joe Judge podcast.
Joe Judge podcast. Always a pleasure, buddy.
Did you see, I know we're wrapping up. Did you see that Joe Judge said one of the things he learned as a head coach was how to mold an offensive game plan to his quarterback strengths?
And the first case of that, of course, was having Jay Fromm dive headfirst. And I know we're wrapping up, but are the Patriots really going to make either Joe Judge or Matt Patricia their offensive coordinator? Because
I cannot wait. I just love the mind game that, ooh, you don't know if Joe Judge or Matt Patricia will be calling plays on offense. Like,
I think it's Bill Belichick saying, I'm not going to let you guys pick that decision apart all offseason. Like, you're going to have to wait till the end of training camp to really get it in. Cause I'm not going to tell you that Joe Judge or Matt Patricia, it's like, if you make Matt Patricia your offensive coordinator, it feels a lot like Juan Castillo.
Couldn't Nick Saban just loan like one of his 18 offensive analysts to Belichick to be the OC?
It's like, Give him O'Brien or Bill, like one of the two.
Right. Yeah. I don't get it. But another conversation for another day.
Indeed. Always a pleasure, buddy.
All right. Thanks so much, Will Brinson. Thanks, guys, for being patient. Sorry there was no show last week. I did tweet about this. I had COVID, and it turns out it's hard to do a podcast when you are having trouble talking without coughing. So hopefully you guys were able to endure me today. Had a couple of hiccups here and there, but I'm doing better. Hope you guys are doing okay. Hope you guys are enjoying the show. We'll have more audio next week, back on track, sort of hitting this dead spot of the NFL season, but still plenty to discuss. Hope you guys enjoyed the show with Will today, and more audio on the way.